Puzzle is M-E-P-C-O-R-A.
Correct. But this week, we're not going to do something about the Torah portion of the week.
Okay.
We're going to learn about this Shabbos. This Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol, the Great Shabbos. So why is it called the Great Shabbos? What does it mean? So there's two explanations of why it's called the Great Shabbos. There's the Torah and there's Tosfos. The Torah says, when Hashem told the Jewish people to bring a sacrifice to Hashem, because they were leaving Egypt, Hashem said they should bring a Paschal offering, an offering in honor of the holiday of Pesach that we celebrate today, and they should bring this sheep into their homes on the 10th day of Nisan, and should keep it in their homes for 4 days. On the day of their departure, on the 14th of Nisan, they should slaughter it and offer it as a sacrifice and eat it. So why do they need to have it in their homes for 4 days if they're only going to slaughter it and eat it and roast it on the 14th of Nisan? Why do they need to have it on the 10th day of Nisan? So the Torah says that the Egyptians worship the sheep. So they're going to come to the Jewish people. They're going to say to them, why is my God attached to your bedpost? That's what they did. They took the sheep, they put it next to their bedpost, they tied it to their bedpost. And the Jewish people are meant to have the fortitude not to be scared of the Egyptians, and to say to them that Hashem is going to kill all the Egyptian firstborn. He's going to save all the Jewish people. And we are taking the sheep to offer it to our God. We're taking your God. We're going to bring it as a sacrifice to the real God. So the Egyptians, having seen miracle after miracle of whatever Moshe Rabbeinu predicted is going to happen, whatever Moses said is going to happen, they saw it happening. So the Egyptians knew that this wasn't something they could be, they could ignore. You know, this was real. So the Egyptians didn't hurt the Jewish people. It says they language they were, their teeth were stuck out. They were like, it gave them a sort of psychological toothache. Like they're looking at their God being disgraced. Yeah, they couldn't do anything. That's what the Torah explains us. So the Tosfos says a similar thing to the Torah, but he adds something. He focuses on a different point. He says, what did the firstborn do after they hear that the firstborn are going to be killed? They go back to the Pharaoh. They go back to Pare. They say to Pare, you have to free the Jewish people. Why have to free them? Because if you don't free them, we're all going to get killed. And Pare said, don't believe everything they say to you. But the firstborn, they said, we do believe this, and you better let them out, because we're going to get killed if you let them out. So Pharaoh says no. They say yes, and there's a civil war. And many, many Egyptians of the Pharaoh's men were killed. And so in order to thank Hashem for this miracle, that's what this Shabbos is about. It's a Shabbos, the great Shabbos, a great miracle. And so to celebrate how, as the Torah says, L'makim etzrayim bivchareyim, Hashem killed the Egyptians with their firstborn. The usual way people think this is translated is Hashem killed the Egyptian firstborn. But if we look at the verse carefully, it says Hashem killed the Egyptians with their firstborn. It's referring to this Shabbos, how the Egyptians themselves were killed by their own firstborn. That's what Tosfos says. So, question is number one, all of our holidays are connected to the a day in the month. This happened on the 10th day of Nisan. And yet we don't celebrate this on the 10th day of Nisan. We celebrate this on Shabbos. The simple reason we don't celebrate it on the 10th day of Nisan, you know why, right? You know why we don't celebrate on the 10th day of Nisan? The simple reason is because Miriam passed away on the 10th day of Nisan. Since she passed away on the 10th day of Nisan, so we don't want to make a day of celebration on the day of her passing. It's a simple reason. Therefore, make the celebration on the Shabbos before Pesach. It's a simple reason. But the Torah has many different layers to it. So the fact that this, for whatever reason, was pushed off to be celebrated on Shabbos means that there's a connection to this miracle on Shabbos. You need to understand what's the connection of all the holidays. Why is this connected to Shabbos? Question number two is, why is this considered such a big miracle? I mean, it seems to be a natural thing. Imagine the Egyptians, imagine their mindset. Imagine hearing from Moses again and again, there's going to be blood in this blood. There's going to be frogs in this frogs, 9 times in a row. It would be unnatural if they didn't believe it that when Moses said it was going to happen. So why are we calling this a miracle in the first place? And question number three is, why are we, according to the explanation of the tour, so then it's a celebration of the Jewish people. The Egyptians didn't threaten us. The Egyptians didn't hurt us. The Egyptians themselves let us do the mitzvah of Hashem. So it's a celebration of the Jewish people that they were able to do this mitzvah and nothing happened to them. The Egyptians were there and their teeth were sticking out, whatever that means. They were upset and they couldn't do anything to us. So according to the Torah, it makes sense. But what Tosfos says seems to be not connected to us. Tosfos says that the whole point of this miracle is that the Egyptians killed the Egyptians. It has nothing to do with our people. It has to do with Egyptians fighting Egyptians. So why are we celebrating the fact that Egyptians are fighting with Egyptians? According to the Torah, celebration is that Hashem protected us from the Egyptians when we went to go sacrifice their God. But according to Tosfos has a whole different nuance over here. Tosfos says the point over here is that the Egyptians fought the Egyptians. Why is that something that we need to celebrate? Why is it something that's a Jewish celebration? So to understand all this, let's look at what Shabbos is. This is called the Great Shabbos, something about this miracle which is associated with Shabbos. And there's a verse, Psalm 92, Mizmer Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, a song for the day of Shabbos. And this verse is explained, what is Shabbos? Shabbos min ha-mazikin. It's a time when the mazikin, those who are predatory, those who can cause harm, are removed. There aren't any predatory things. What does that mean? So there's two interpretations of this. One interpretation of this is that on Shabbos, on the Shabbos of creation, when Hashem made the world, the first Shabbos, and also Mizmashir Yim Shabbos Yim Shukula Shabbos, this refers to the time of coming of Mashiach. Mashiach will come. It says Hashem will remove. Well, there's an argument between the Mechilt and the Medrash. What it means, one explanation is Hashem will remove all wild animals from the world. Mashiach will come. There won't be any wild animals. Another explanation is there will be wild animals. There'll be lions and tigers, but they will no longer be predatory. They no longer will hurt any other animals or hurt any other people. They will be domestic. They'll be domestic. They won't fight. That's what Shabbos is about. The day that will always be Shabbos. The day of the coming of Mashiach. The time of the coming of Mashiach is called Shabbos. And at that time, either according to one interpretation, there will no longer be any wild animals at all, or according to other interpretation, there will be. They'll exist, but they won't have that predatory nature anymore. So there's actually interesting nuance of Nachmanides about this. Nachmanides says, the Ramban says, that a similar thing happened when Hashem created the world. That in the first Shabbos, the sin of the tree of knowledge was done before Shabbos. So there was already evil in the world. But that Shabbos was unique. That Shabbos, there was no predators. Of course, according to that Shabbos, you can't say that they didn't exist. They existed, but they didn't. They weren't predatory. That Shabbos, they got along. That's what Ramban says. So the Tzemach Tzedek says that there's an advantage in saying that they still exist. The advantage of saying that the lions and tigers still exist after Mashiach comes is that although they had this nature. To hurt and to be mean, to be vicious, they're going to be transformed. It's kind of like ishapcha, right? It's not that they're going to be subdued. Siddhis talks about like subduing your urges and doing the right thing. So the what? Huh? Transformed to good. Yeah. So they're transformed to good. They no longer have this nature anymore of being predatory. They'll be transformed to good. That's what Tzemach Tzedek says, that the Mashiach comes, they'll be transformed to good. It's an advantage of instead of saying that they will stop to exist, they'll be transformed to good. By the first Shabbos of creation, after the sin of the tree of knowledge, there you can't say that they will their nature has changed, because the next day, Sunday, they're predatory. Next day, they're predatory. So you can't say their nature has changed. When Mashiach comes, yes, you could say their nature has changed. But in regards to the first Shabbos, you can't say they stopped to exist, because they still existed. You can't either say their nature has changed. It's a bit of a paradoxical thing. Although their nature didn't change, they're still not predatory. There's something in them that wants to hurt other animals, and yet that Shabbos, there's a transformation, and they're not predatory. It's kind of like how Chassidus explains the Talmudic passage, Lamed Vav Shoes Shimsho Esa'ira. That means the light that Hashem brought to the world that very first Shabbos, that light shined for 36 hours. For 36 hours, that light shined. That light shined at nighttime too. At nighttime also, as the Torah says, Laila Kayoim Yoyer, the night shined like the day. So what was unique in that first Shabbos was that the darkness itself, the night itself, the time of night, was transformed to light. Like the animals, they're predatory, and yet they acted in a way of acted civilly, and acted peacefully with each other. So what does this have to do with Shabbos? The first Shabbos, this is this way, the time of coming Mashiach will be a different way. What does it have to do with Shabbos? What does Shabbos have to do with the animals getting along with each other, their nature changing, or by the first Shabbos, by them just acting peacefully to each other, though their nature hasn't yet changed? What does it have to do with Shabbos? So concerning Shabbos, the Torah says, Vayichal Elokim Vayoyim, Hashem finished His work on the seventh day. The question is, why did He finish His work on the seventh day? Should be the sixth day. So Rashi has two explanations. Remember what Rashi says? Rashi says one explanation is Chut HaSayra. Hashem began Shabbos in a hair's breadth of time. It looked like it was still, it looked like Shabbos already started, but Hashem knows exactly when Shabbos starts. And therefore, at the very last moment, it sounds like us, you know, right before Shabbos, you're scrambling, trying to do this, trying to do that. And the very last moment before Shabbos, Hashem was still creating the world, doing something. That's one explanation. So it looked like He finished on the seventh day. That's one explanation of Rashi. Come on in, the water's fine. Join us for a little chassidus. A second explanation of Rashi is that Hashem, for listeners just tuning in, we're trying to figure out, why does it say Hashem finished creating the world on the seventh day? Why the seventh day? Finished creating the world on the sixth day. So what does Rashi say, you remember? Hashem created rest on the seventh day. Hashem, the world was finished, world's creation was done. One thing wasn't done yet, one wasn't created yet, Hashem created rest. So the world was created in 6 days, but the world wasn't finished yet. The world was created on the seventh day. What was created in the world on the seventh day? What was missing? Rest. Hashem created rest. So what is Rashi saying? Creation is about Hashem doing something. Whatever that means, Hashem doing something. Rest means Hashem is not doing something. The creation is about Hashem doing something. Hashem is making something. Hashem not doing something means it's not about creation. So what does it mean when we're saying the world's missing rest? Whatever rest means that Hashem's not doing something. It's not making the world. He's not making something new. He's not adding to creation. It's not about creating something. So what does Rashi mean when he says, Hashem finished creating the world by creating rest? Rest is the opposite of creation. Creation is about Hashem actively doing something, actively making something. The rest is the opposite. Rest is about Hashem not doing something. So how can we say that Hashem finished creating the world by creating rest? Rest is the opposite of creation. So we have to say is that What this means is that Hashem brought to creation something higher than creation. The world was not complete until Hashem added something more than creation didn't have before. What does that mean? Why is it? Let's look at work and rest by human being. Why is a person? Why does a person rest? A person rests when they get tired. What makes a person tired? We get tired because we expend our energy. We work. We do something, and the place of our energy is in our body, in our hand, with the power to move our hand. And then there is when we do something with our hand, we do something with our feet, we do something with our body. The energy is depleted from our body because it's expended. It's going out of its place. What does rest mean? Rest means, in Yiddish, the expression for rest is kumen zu sich, to come to yourself. That's the expression they use for rest. When you rest, the energy in your body is reverting and going back to its source. So instead of it being expended outside of your body to do whatever you're doing, it's now going back inside and it's being re-energized and revitalized by going back inside. That's what rest is. So for Hashem, of course, we cannot say that Hashem didn't create the world with effort, as it says in the Torah, it wasn't with toil and with effort that Hashem created the world. However, the meaning of creation is that Hashem's words, let there be light, let there be a sky, they leave, so to speak, their godly source, and they are expended, they go out of their godly source to create something that's not godly. To create something which at least from our perspective, the way it looks to us, something which is not holy, which is not godly, which is not Hashem himself, something other than Hashem. Of course, there's nothing besides Hashem, but there, it looks like Hashem is now taken his godly energy and put it into something foreign, something other than godliness. So there's not, the godliness is not in its source anymore. It's not Hashem himself. It's that way Hashem's godliness, Hashem's power, Hashem's truth is going outside of him to create something other, to create something outside of him. Like when we do work, our energy is going out of our body. So too, when you say Hashem worked, what it means is that Hashem took his light and it spread out of himself to produce the world. Hashem creates heaven and earth. What that means is that the heavens and the earth are an extension of his godly energy, but they're not the godly energy as it is in its source, where the godly energy is outside of its source, the way it's coming out to do something other than Hashem. And what does rest mean? Rest means the way Hashem is in himself. Rest means the way, not the way Hashem is producing the world, but the way Hashem is within himself. But still thinking about creation. It's about the source of, let's say it this way. It's very interesting, Maharal. The Maharal says something similar to Chassidus. It ends up being the same idea, but the Maharal says it in the language of philosophy as the nature of the Maharal, the custom of the Maharal, Derech Darka Bakedesh. Maharal says, what's the difference between the numbers 6, 7, and 8? Hashem finished creating the world in 6 days, and there's a 7th day, Shabbos. Then as we just learned yesterday in the Torah, the mitzvah of circumcision is associated with the number 8, and it supersedes the mitzvah of Shabbos. What's 6, 7, and 8? So Maharal says, in every single thing in the world, there are 6 dimensions. What that means is that the let's say you guys can't use this example, but I don't know if they still use graphic design. When I learned graphic design in the 80s, there's something called turtle. You know what I'm talking about? It's like this: you start with this thing called turtle in the middle of the screen, a dot, and then you move around from this central point. So there is, in everything in the world, you can extend it to 4 different directions, north, south, east, and west. Besides north, south, east, and west, it also can go up and down, right? So that's why in everything in the world, in every cube, there is length and breadth and depth. So there's forward, backwards, right and left, and there's up and down. So there's 6 dimensions in everything in the world. So this number 6, that Maharal says, represents existence. The number 7 represents the essence of the thing. Not the way the thing moves around to the various directions and it spreads out to the length and breadth and depth and higher and lower, but the number 7 represents the essence of the thing. The number 8, he says, is beyond existence. Number 8 is already higher than existence. So, like the bris milah, like the mitzvah circumcision. So, for our purposes today, let's go on just to number 7. Shabbos, 6 days of the week, is where godliness extends to, spreads out, and emerges from its source to produce the world. Number 7, that's about how godliness is in its source. How godliness is in its source for creation, but how it is not as it goes out of creation. How godliness is within its source. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is not the way creation is, where there's something foreign outside of godliness which is being created. Shabbos is about something above creation. Shabbos is about the truth of Hashem as Hashem's truth is before and higher than creation. But how Hashem is thinking about creation already. You see, Hashem is thinking about creation, but not yet speaking creation. Shabbos is called the world of thought. Just like when we think, our thoughts are within ourselves, so too Shabbos is Hashem is Yochid Be'Elamai, Hashem is alone in creation. Shabbos is about the truth of Hashem, which is higher than creation. But Hashem said the world's missing something without Shabbos. That means the world has to have in it a Shabbos. Hashem gave the world something that's higher than the world. The world naturally is like Hashem, it's about godliness spreading out, creation, like Hashem's speech. But Hashem said the world's not finished until Hashem gave us the Shabbos. What that means is that the world needs to have Hashem's thought. And the world needs to have something, the essence of existence, like in the analogy of the Maharal, not just the 6 directions, needs to have the number 7, needs to have, the world needs something higher than the way godliness is spread out, needs to have the source of God, the source of creation. There is the way the words of Hashem are within himself, just like ourselves. We have our power to move our hands. And then there is an actual action outside of ourselves. So the idea of rest is that the power in our hands is not outside of our hands. The power comes back into our hands. When we rest, the power reverts back inside of our arms, or inside of our hands. Similarly, when we say rest about Hashem, that means is that the godly energy of Hashem to create the world is no longer outside, spreading to create a world. Rather, it reverts back into its source. So Hashem said the world's missing something until there's Shabbos. So what is Shabbos about? Shabbos is about the convergence, about the connection between something higher than creation, and how that's the truth of Hashem, how it is, how Hashem is, and that coming within into creation. That's what Shabbos is. So this will help us understand now why on Shabbos it says that, according to the second explanation, there will be wild animals when Mashiach will come, or there were wild animals in the very first Shabbos, but they didn't act predatory, they didn't act viciously. What does that mean? They exist, there's creation. But in creation, there's something that's brought to creation that's higher than creation. There is a predatory animal, and yet the predatory animal in the very first Shabbos of existence, it did not act predatory. There was no acts of violence by all the animals on the very first Shabbos. That's also the meaning of Shabbos HaGadol. And that's why we celebrate it specifically on Shabbos, not according to the days of the month. What happened on Shabbos HaGadol? The Egyptian firstborn fought to protect the Jewish people. But they didn't become tzaddikim. How do we know they didn't become tzaddikim? They didn't become so righteous. How do we know? Because they still died in the plague of the firstborn. If they would become righteous, then Hashem would have left them alone. The fact they died means they were still wicked. So how are these wicked people going to fight the Pharaoh? The simple reason is because they're protecting their own existence. But according to Hasidus, you have to understand, how is this unholy energy fighting for holiness? What's going on within them that's making them fight for the Jewish people? What's changing over there? So what's happening is, it's Shabbos. Shabbos means that Hashem brings into the world something which is above creation, and that is transforming creation. But the darkness itself is becoming good. Just like we mentioned before about the night coming like the day, the night shining like the day, the very first Shabbos of creation, so too, on Shabbos HaGadol, there was an expression of this, a very big expression of Shabbos, that not as much as when Mashiach will come, but there was a very big expression of Shabbos where we see the Egyptian firstborn themselves, which their nature is to attack the Jewish people, they're transformed and they fight and they have mysterious nefesh and they dedicate themselves to protect the Jewish people. That's Shabbos HaGadol. It didn't happen by itself. It happened because the Jewish people, and as everything's connected to the Jewish people. Jewish people had the fortitude to ignore their own fears and to take the Egyptian God and to say to the Egyptians, we're going to offer your God as a sacrifice to Hashem. That fortitude, that strength of the Jewish people caused this transformation that brought to the world this great miracle that the clip itself, that the opposite of holiness itself, is fighting to protect holiness, fighting to protect Kedusha. And this is, there's two holidays. There's a holiday of Pesach and there's a holiday of Shabbos HaGod. The holiday of Pesach is about the Jewish people are freed from Egypt. They run away from Egypt. They haven't changed Egypt. But Shabbos HaGod is about the transformation of Egypt itself. When Mashiach comes, it says Hashem will do something similar to how He took us out of Egypt. As the Pasuk says, just like the days you left Egypt, Hashem says, I will also show you wonders when Mashiach comes. But there's a difference. When we left Egypt, Egypt was still Egypt. We ran away from Egypt. What's unique about the coming of Mashiach is that the world has to become a home for Hashem. The world itself will be transformed. And that's what happened, the taste of it happened, on Shabbos HaGadol. That's why it's called the Great Shabbos. It's something similar to the time of Mashiach, where there's a transformation in the klipa and the evil of Egypt itself, and we have these firstborn Egyptians fighting back the Jewish people. So the main thing is that we should see the coming of Mashiach, and now we're in the last moments for the coming of Mashiach, so we have to learn from the strength the Jewish people have then to not be affected by anything on the outside, and to guys coming out from yeshiva, not be affected by all the different new environments in your homes, and to maintain your fortitude you had in yeshiva, and that that itself has global implications. Global, as says in the Torah, Hashem put the whole world in the heart of a Jew. So when a Jew acts in a with dedication to Hashem and that causes the whole world to transform. That causes all the Egyptians to fight the Egyptians. It causes the clip itself to fight itself. As we should see it happen today. Karav Mamash. L'chaim.
And you had a muscle.
Thank you.
What?
You have